First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday, December 18th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I want to be DJ Wombat. Like, what are we doing throwing in DJs now? This is new. This is a new iteration after 10 years of doing the radio.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. Now, when I talk to other DJs and they're introducing themselves in our meetings, they always put DJ in front of it. So I thought it would.
Okay. I've been to a couple of those meetings. So that is true. That is true. I don't know.
And you can put DJ in front of Wombat. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs, welcome from Western Canada. Arr. And the John Richards, all the way from England, welcome.
Hello. Yes, I want a MBE after my name.
Don't we
What's
all?
What's that stand for? Help me. MBE? Help me. What's that stand for?
Member of the British Empire.
A
knighthood.
Okay.
Digital Free Thought is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. And we'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around for that. Wombat, what's our topic today?
My mind is blown. I had no idea that MBE existed. I'm on Google looking for OBEs, MBEs, and CBEs. This is a whole new rabbit hole for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of things that have confounded me, I want to talk about inverting the problems, a lot of the problems that come with Christianity. And if we just flip them on our head, we might find some really interesting solutions. We'll talk about
Christianity has problems.
I know, but if you turn them around and don't make them your problems, all of a sudden everything's solved and it's done in like the most straightforward fashion.
Well,
it's going to be an interesting show. But before we get into it, how about we throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation?
Okay.
All right. Our noodly Lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread and forgive us our cussing as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs. For thine are the meatballs, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
Amen.
You know, I was telling Dredd about this. I wear a Flying Spaghetti Monster hat. Just has the logo whenever I go out and play disc golf. And I play disc golf regularly, even in this cold. And I have been kicking butt. And people are like, Ty is the guy who hits really long putts. Who only throws two discs and ends up beating everybody else on the card. Like, I'm having like a great time out each time. And the reason my secret to success is that I can see the noodles. When I look at my lines, I just see the noodle wrapping around everything. And I'm like, that's the line I'm going to take. The straightest path between two points in reality is a noodle. Have anyone ever considered that?
That is absolutely right.
And don't forget the noodle theory.
And you know what? The cool thing is like lines don't have endpoints. They just keep going. But noodles have a beginning and an end. So as long as you just stay on your noodle and land at that point of where your noodle needs to end, you will have a very consistent line of each shot. You have your very good birdie route. And I'm very, very happy and thankful that I have a flying monster.
Noodly Lord is behind you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Guiding each one of my throws in. It's just like, oh, that's so good. And Ty's like, everyone's just like, Ty's weeding us so well. Anyway.
And that is really what you need a God for.
Right.
That and finding parking spaces.
Yeah. And car keys.
Car keys. Which is a shame. Side story. Well, I have a little clip that keeps my keys next to my pants. And so I always lose my keys, which also means I always lose my pants. And there was a movie that was the Lego movie that had a song called "Where Are My Pants?" And that's the only song in my head that goes on every morning. It's like, where's my pants? I need to find my keys. My wallet's in there too. Where is everything? Dread Pirate, how have you been?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been working, and that's why I've been absent the last couple of times here. But
I'm wearily
on a break.
What are the crazy jobs this time? It's like fireman, private detective, security guard, cougar fighter backer. What's going on now?
Well, so yeah, doing security for this show called Fire Country, which is wildland firefighters. It's set in California, but of course it's shot here in BC. So
sure.
But it's kind of becoming a regular show for me. So that's good. Cool. I'm getting closer to membership.
Dread, your adult life is cooler than what I would suspect most kids in California's teenage life is. Just like,
I wish all this were going on 30 years ago. I got a lot more ahead of me.
Awesome. Yeah. John Rich is checking in with you too. Master of Chaos. And how far away are you actually from a British Empire membership? Because I would imagine if the Empire went to war, you would be a part of it. So, like, how are you not part of that system already?
It doesn't really have much to do with war.
Well, okay. Well, the Empire would be like, hey,
citizens, the Beatles, we're gonna go the Beatles are MBEs.
Oh,
yeah. The
Beatles.
Actually, they're SIRs now. They've gone up one. Mm. But I really can't take part in this conversation because my mind is still boggling about the problem that Ty's been having with his pants.
Ah.
You've got to realize that they're underwear.
No, the trousers.
That's what they have.
Trousers.
That's different. That's very different. I've been trying to picture you sticking your keys in your pants.
I'm sorry about that. That's a good one. Larry, how have you been? What's going on with you?
Fine. I've had a cold this week. And not real good that I gave it to Sheila, so she's got it now too. So, but not been a great week, and I haven't missed any work. So, working and having the cold is not real good.
No, that's a bad combination.
Yeah, but it's better than the other. I did take a COVID test and I was negative, so that's all good.
Good, you know, it's a good reflex. I went to a couple of parties with friends, and one of them did have a cold, and I was making sure, like, you know, I'm still separated, but like. While we are so concerned about COVID still, like flu's out there, cold's out there, and a number of other diseases too. So still take care of
it. It was real nice going 2 whole years without a cold.
Yeah, it was. It was. I'm still going to maintain careful. That too. I've still been face masks. Go for it.
I haven't had anything since at least 2018.
Hmm.
Well, there's a cold or flu or anything. So, yeah.
Not only that, but I'm all up on my vaccinations. I used to be afraid of vaccinations because they made me sick, but now I'm just like, keep vaccinating me. And my body just takes it. It's just like, you're good. Walk out. Not even like a sore arm-ish. It just like goes away in a couple of hours. Anyway, we're going to get into, speaking of things that are inconvenient that you have to do anyway, Iran has this thing called hijab, which is not just in Iran, but it's in all over the Islamic mindset around the world. But I saw a really interesting movie made by other Iranians called Man Invents Brilliant Device to Protect Himself from Lusting Over Women. That's not a hijab that women have to wear, but is in fact just a blindfold. And it's filmed as like a whole documentary series, but it's actually really done in both a commentary appropriate, but also a funny way.
Tongue-in-cheek.
It's tongue in cheek, but it's made by Iranians. It's filmed in Iran. It's done in mosque. And it's like a guy's having an argument with his wife saying, listen, you got to cover up your head. And the wife's like, I don't even want to wear this. Like, what's going on here? It's like, you should just close your eyes. It's like, I'm not going to close my eyes. How can I do this? Like, well, if I got a veil, you should veil. I'm just like, there's no way veiling my eyes is going to stop. Oh my gosh, this might work. This might work. And so like he's sitting in his chair being like, wait a second, I can't see any women. I got to tell my friends about this. He goes to the mosque. His mosque are like, why are you guys wearing a mask? Like you're standing where the women sit. You need to stand where the men sit. It's like, guys, I can't even tell. I can't even see. It's like, you got to put this on. He puts them on. This guy's like, oh my gosh, Saeed, you have a brilliant idea. they take it up to the boss. The boss is doing like a cut interview. It's like, yeah, I always had this idea. I thought this would have worked. This is pretty good. And next thing you know, all society begins to transition from women veiling themselves so that men don't get aroused when they look at their hair to men just covering up their eyes and not seeing the women in the first place. And it sort of restacks society by inverting the problem. What's up, John Richards? I saw you had a comment.
Well, how did he get to the mosque?
If you do it three times a day, I'm pretty sure you can like get there.
It's muscle memory.
Yeah. Like I could probably commute to work blindfolded at this point. But
so I've got a high tech version of this. Mm. You know these video filters. Mm.
Yes.
Which can make you turn you into a rabbit.
Right. Yes.
Well, to turn pair of glasses.
right.
Pair of glasses which do that to women, so they're all bald.
Ah, so listen, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about today. Because if we take the text from the Holy Book and say, or any edict and say, women need to cover their head because men are lustful, or if we say homosexuality is a sin, or you can't have an abortion based on whatever religious reason, if we just looked at what the core problem was, and instead of having the innocent people come up with a solution, just make the people who have a problem with it change a standard or change a process. If we invert the problem, we can come up with a brilliant solution. In the same way that you have to wear hijab, just cover up the men's eyes or tell the men, hey, look away so you don't have to get aroused then, basically. You don't have to have women covering up their heads. You can have a much simpler, straightforward solution just invert the problem. We could use technology to help us out with that too. John Richards.
Well, there's another possibility, isn't there? You could have rules that mean men can only go out during the day and women can only go out during the night. I mean,
curfews.
This is the diurnal separation mechanism that enables some species to specify, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So like Punjab, for example, is an area in India that says, hey, you can't cut your hair. You can't, or if you're Sikh, you're supposed to leave your hair growing out, because that's the way God intended it for it to look. And so you have men with very large beards, regardless of how inconvenient it is when you like drink soup or eat milk or whatever like that, a really, really long beard gets in the way. And then you have to have the turban to help hold all that hair in place. But as John Richards was saying, what if you just invert the problem? Just like, oh, well, what if we had filters where it's like, when you look at people and you want to have a beard, you can just have the beard. And then if you want to take off the beard, you could just take off the beard with like a click of the button. That works out so nice well. We could have stuff like that.
maybe the answer is using smart goggles, like, you know, augmented reality.
Yeah, like I was talking
about. And you can dial in the level of
sensitivity
that you want.
Yeah, how holy do you want to look today? I want to be very holy. Yeah, okay, we'll get that long extended filter. We could get there with technology or just through some simple practices. So what I wanted to bring up today was some examples of problems and then methods that we can do to probably invert those problems so we won't have to deal with them anymore. I'd like to begin first with the issue of blasphemy. Are you guys familiar with blasphemy? Do I have to introduce that to a bus?
Are you kidding? We're all blasphemers. We know it.
Larry, for our audience, since we've never had this conversation, or since we haven't recently had a conversation blasphemy, would you mind talking about what blasphemy is and why it makes God so angry?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, I guess. It doesn't make God angry. Gods don't exist. But it makes the people who worship God.
That's blasphemy!
See what I mean? It's talk that goes against the spiritual teachings or of the religion that you're blaspheming against. Okay. Like in the Ten Commandments, this is one of the first rules, you know, don't create graven images, right? Well, if you go out and create graven images, you're creating a blasphemous image. It's going against the teachings of the religion.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Why is that harmful?
Why are they such snowflakes, eh?
Right.
Right.
That's your problem.
Yeah. In Pastafarianism, we do have one act of blasphemy.
Okay.
And that's using ketchup on noodles. it just doesn't work. Sorry, guys.
Is that worse than putting pineapple on pizza?
No, pineapple pizza actually makes sense. I don't know why people don't like that. Yeah, that's okay. I'm a supporter of pineapple on pizza. I mean, there's already tomatoes on the pizza. There's already
that's how we brought the Hawaiians into the fold.
That's just all I'm saying. But John Richards, what does God have against blasphemy? I'd love to understand this problem a bit better. Like if I say, God damn it, or if I think I can say it on the radio. If I said something that God didn't like, why does God care?
Well, you've got me beat. I mean, most of us can take a few little insults without it damaging our ego too much.
Mm.
This guy just seems to be so tender.
Mm.
He's a snowflake.
Yeah, toughen up, God.
So we do know we have a very sensitive God, right? Or at least the Judaic version of God, the character, is very, very sensitive. Don't worship anyone else before me. I want to be your number one. You got to love me. You got to worship me. You got to worship my kid too, who's also me. Don't worship my kid more than me. I'm the number one guy. And don't make fun of me either. I hate that when you do that. I really, really don't like it. It's like a 3-year-old at like a playground being like, I make the rules. This is my slide. Don't take me off the slide. It's like,
stop it, or I'll take my ball and go home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we?
That will be very serious because they're playing at the World Cup final at the moment. We need that ball.
Very true. It's my ball and I want to go home. So we have don't blaspheme God because it's offensive. It offends God. It offends his religion. It offends his workers. It offends everybody. Don't blaspheme God. What if we just inverted the problem where it's not our problem to not blaspheme God, but it's just God who won't take it personally anymore? Like when you consider the problem, if you consider it, it's an ultra super powerful, all-knowing, powerful being angry that ants are mocking him. And he's like, you know what? I don't care about the opinion of ants. Maybe they don't like me very much.
Yeah.
It's all good. I'll still reward the good ones, punish the bad ones. I'm a god. I got other things to do. I don't mind. What do you think, Dredd?
I was going to say, you know, it's not like, I mean, how many times have you heard on the news that somebody got struck by lightning after blaspheming? Because it just doesn't happen. So it's not God that's getting mad. It's all his guys. It's his grunts.
Right. Yeah. But it's just like, don't make fun of my dad. Don't make fun of my dad. It's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you just calm down? Your dad doesn't even care. That's a good one. Only be as offended as your God is. Right?
Exactly.
My mother got struck by lightning. She was on the phone back in the days of corded phones, you know, and the house across the road got struck by lightning and some of the charge came through to her and she had to let go and drop it quickly. But
we
don't know what word she last said.
So I like the idea. I'm sorry that happened to your mom, by the way. That sounds frightening.
She was fine.
I'm glad to hear it. She was an atheist, though, too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Just a wake-up call. Who knows? But the idea is we have a God who apparently doesn't care or immediately punish people who blaspheme, but we have his grunts who do. So what if the rule was just only be as offended as your God is on any matter? And if you follow that practice and he's like, hey, I'm going to get gay married today. It's like, what's God doing about that? Nothing. Okay. We won't do anything.
Exactly.
Have fun, guys. I'm like, well, this solves a lot of things. I'm only ever going to be as offended as God is about anything based on evidentiary experience.
This is a case for fact checking, isn't it?
Ooh.
Because when the priests or pastors or whoever, agents of God, claim that their God is being blasphemed, we could demand to know how they know that.
Yes,
exactly. And
what's your source?
There's another weird arm to this too, because even just in America, at least, mentioning that you're an atheist can offend people.
Right.
You know. Right. But it's like your God isn't offended, or demonstrably is not offended. Observationally isn't offended. What? Two, he made me. And three, why are you being offended of the fact that I don't believe in your God? You should only ever be as offended as your God is. And as far as we can tell, God doesn't care. So why do you care? Like, what's the real question there?
It's taking vicarious offense.
You're taking vicarious offense unnecessarily. That's the sin that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Vicarious offense.
That's a good one. Thanks for that, Dredd. Because you never know. I mean, whatever next? It could develop to a state where one person can absolve the entire world of all their sins by dying.
Right.
That's what an idea.
Okay. Yeah. I love this. I want to tackle one more before we get to the top or the bottom of the hour. This one is all right. So it's a complicated one because it's multifaceted and it's one that we're all familiar with, but Bible says, do not fornicate, but also the Bible says, don't commit adultery. Don't commit lust. Don't feed or commit prostitution, and a number of other sexually mandated rules that keeps us in my position, even as an asexual, in a very frustrated point of view, particularly given that you biologically have urges or dispositions on certain things
that he gave us.
That he gave us and gave us access to and and immediately gave us like hormones to make it very pleasurable if you do play with things. But right. You can't, because you can only have sex with one person. You can't have lust. You can't have prostitution. You can't commit adultery. It's a sin to even covet thy neighbor's wife. It's one of the big 10. We can't have that. What if we transition that? Or if we thought about the problem, why is there so many sexual based rules in the Bible? Dredd, I'd love to hear that. What do you think? Why are there so many sexual based rules, and why is fornication one of them?
Well, because it's the thing we think about most.
It's probably the one that's like, what do you call it, the most ubiquitous?
Well, you know, and if you pay any attention to Richard Dawkins, he would say the whole mandate really of why we're humans is just to forward our genes. It's really got nothing to do with anything other than that. And since we forward our genes into the future through sex, that is the priority for life.
The prime directive.
The prime directive. Yeah, I love it.
Interesting. John Richards, what do you think? What is the deal with God and sex and against fornication of all things?
Well, he made us all obsessed with sex, and therefore other people's sex is very interesting to us as well. And there's a word for that I can't remember at the moment. I'm looking it up, see if I can get there. Mariah Carey's got a number called Obsessed. So the thing is that this is such an important factor in a lot of populations' viewpoint.
Right.
That there's a country, it's a group of islands that trades as a country, Indonesia, at the moment, that's passing a bill through its parliament which forbids adultery, homosexuality, sex outside marriage.
Yep.
And there's punishments of about a year in jail for most of those offences. And I've got no idea how they're going to detect these activities. How are they going to police those crimes,
Yes. When I hear the complaints religion has with sex, I always think it's a matter of control, because I'm going to hijack biology, something that a lot of people think about, or something that it's hard for people to not even think about. Like, don't think about zebras. You're thinking about zebras, right? What if I made thinking about zebras a sin? And now every single time you try not to think about zebras, even though it's your natural proclivity to do so, you will then realize, oh, I got to go back to my religious authoritarian to ask for forgiveness, or to ask my God to forgive me because there's something wrong with me. And the saddest thing with religion is that it's basically a poison that's given to kids that they claim they have the cure for, but there is no real cure. The cure is getting rid of, stop giving that poison away to your next generation of children.
Yeah.
You can't
cure a disease you don't have.
Right. It's so well said. And then not only that, but there's the secondary effect of it, because for the people who aren't obsessed with sex, they have to deal with the fact that there's a powerful group of people who are, that dictate labels that are put on people, whether they're good or bad. And if they are good, they have to be good in their certain ways. And if they're bad, they're the others. Even if they don't have obsessions with sex, they're wrong. Something's wrong with them. They're not normal. And it starts to bias what normality is, even in cultures that are well suited to accept a progressive attitude. And it's a really unfortunate thing. I feel like, for one, I don't really have a lot of, I never had a lot of sex obsessed thoughts, but I felt that lacking that was a problem for me. And I thought, whoa, I must not be something's wrong with my head. I must not be normal because everyone else is talking about this thing that I have very little interest in. Is there a problem with me? No, it was a completely normal state of mind to be in. I couldn't realize it until I was like in my 30s. So like, it leads to a lot of problems, this idea of sex. What if we just inverted the problem, and we can invert the problem before we get to the bottom of half hour? What's our time, Larry?
We're at 24 and a half minutes or so.
Sweet. We got plenty of time. Here's my inverse. Okay. So don't fornicate, but also don't commit adultery, lust, and prostitution. If we invert the problem, what if we just said, okay, maybe that first thing helps reduce the other things. Have fun, guys.
Well, let's
party on.
Fornication is okay. And then you could, maybe if you do that first thing, all the other stuff like drops down dramatically. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Let's not forget that the Bible was written by men and who were preachers and who felt that they owned the women of their flock, as it were.
Yeah.
As long as they put down sex for everybody else, then they can do what they want. Yeah. How many times have we heard about preachers, you know, having sex with the women in their flock or the boys in their flock or whatever? They put all these prescriptions out for the people or the men in their flock, and then they do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's control and hypocrisy, right?
Definitely.
Do as you're told, not what I do, right?
Right.
Yeah. There was a report in Maryland recently about, I think it's in excess of 600 sexual abuse offences committed by clergy and officials of the evangelical church over the last 90 years. So nobody is immune from
And the saddest thing is we're not surprised by it anymore. Like Catholic priests sexually abuses 14 children. That won't even make it to the headlines of any news source. Because it's just, that's what happens. Like, tell us about the dog that can speak French. Like, that's news. I'm like, wait a second.
It's desensitized. We've been desensitized to it just by frequency.
It's the expectation.
Yes.
Okay.
It would be more alarming to hear of a priest that never abused anybody. Like, record serving priest has never abused a single child once. Wow, that's pretty good. That's on news. Yeah.
But then they would find that it's because he was a eunuch.
Now we're at the bottom of the half.
Yeah, sorry, we should probably break. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Early this year, he thought he'd take a course. I'm talking about St. Nick, of course. Well, he went to college and had some fun and signed up for physics 101. He learned of quarks and quasars and photons too. The Big Bang Theory that created me and you. He read a Hawking book that said God had no course in creating our dear universe. Now Santa is an atheist. He found the Christ in mass just didn't exist. How can he continue to compile his list? Oh, Santa is an atheist. At first, old Nick was seemingly confused. So he did some math to see if it could be proved. He thought hard and worried till he realized that Christmas didn't need to be deified. So Santa is an atheist. He found the Christ in mass just didn't exist. He hoped his wife and elves would get the gist. Cause Santa is an atheist. But with a few more calculations, poor Santa disproved himself. Santa was an atheist, though I'm pretty sure he did never exist. Maybe nice to pretend, but I have to insist that Santa was an atheist. The moral of the story is good and clear. You don't have to be a theist to spread some cheer. There may not be a god, but at least we got a tree. The log channel.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dr. Five, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
let's take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year, soon to be our 23rd year coming shortly. And we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Burley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables because it's cold. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom meetings. If you'd like to join us, you'll need to email us for details at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can find us online, too, at Facebook, meetup.com, or go to the website at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Where do you want to pick up, Wombat?
We're going to do some listener comments, and I'd love to get some feedback. Anonymous Mouse says, based off our last episode, stop mentioning Kent Hovind, William Craig, and Frank Turek. It only gives them more power. What do you guys think?
That's right.
He did mention them in the comment, but I also think like he would necessarily have to. So, yeah. Dredd, what do you think of the idea of stop mentioning those people?
I absolutely agree. The more oxygen you give them, the more they stick around. Yes. Starve them out. Give them more CO2.
Ignore them, basically, yep. And watch them go away. John yep. Richards, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, because I have fun poking at them. And I don't want to be deprived of that, you know, because where else am I going to get such low-hanging fruit from?
It's okay. True.
Okay, yep. Okay. Larry Rhodes, do you have a philosophy on mentioning, like, people who are famous by being annoying over and over and over?
No, again? I agree with you. I agree with the commenter. Don't mention them. Okay. I try not to, but it's hard not to because they're such good, bad examples.
Though you did personally interact with them, John Richards, like you've actually had conversations and debates.
I have. Right? Yes. I'm afraid so. Guilty as charged.
Right. Yeah, right. Out of politeness, it's just instead of that guy, you have to say the name. I can respect that. Judd, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say that it's probably a good practice to extol the merits of non-religious views without having to have that as a counter. You know what I mean? Just by virtue of its own merits, that these are good ideas, right. But don't have to be measured against bad ideas.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you see, there you go. Because it's all up against temptation, isn't it?
We also like to personify things. And when we can, because we personify even ideas, we often see the same ideas presented every single time a new person presents the same idea. Yeah. Whereas if we challenge the concept itself, then regardless of whoever champions it the next time, it's still the same bad concept.
And exactly.
So it's going to be very difficult here in the UK to not mention a couple of those names in the next few months, because a certain chief executive of Answers in Genesis in conjunction with a certain man who likes making videos of him holding a banana. Okay. They are forming a team to try and attract Christians from around the world to descend on London in order to present their propaganda, let's face it, to the crowds that are attending the coronation on May the 6th. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
No, this is new information for me. But
really?
Yes.
Well, they're calling it Operation London. And the reasoning goes that this is a mega event. This is like the Oscars on steroids.
Because we have a new king.
Exactly. We haven't had a coronation for 70 years.
Yep.
Then and the world loves our royals. So everything is going to stop. Everybody is going to be eyeballing Westminster Abbey for the coronation. And that's their opportunity as they see it. Because, of course, our king is a fraud. He's only an earthly king. The real king is Jesus.
Right. They're trying to get the political timing impression. First impression. I'd say this, too. We have some really good comments from the episode. I was born an atheist and so are you. Miss Bella Close says, I freaking love this guy. Subscribe. Haley Padgett says, I stumbled across this show. You guys have very interesting comments. I'm looking forward to watching more. Thank you, Haley Padgett. Oh, cool. The Afro Atheist, Esther from the Global Atheist News Review.
The Afro Atheist says,
hey, Ty, I'm waiting for you to still complete the challenge. The challenge being dancing on the show. I've danced on Global Atheist News Review. I've completed that challenge, Esther. Let's see. Dada's Trading Room, a frequent commenter on the show, said, can you choose your beliefs? He says, you guys, we made a comment about a turkey's expecting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to come. He says, well, we actually have a similar saying in Poland with the turkey, which was expecting Sunday, but it got beheaded on Saturday. The only difference is ours rhymes in Polish. That's pretty good. I do signing on my video as well for Heart of Listening people, and someone asked, can you subtitle your videos, please? YouTube has a closed captioning feature. I know it's not perfect, but it'll definitely save me more time than subtitling hour after hour of the show. Or maybe better technology exists out there. You can use your phone for a lot of subtitling features that are much more accurate.
And you can actually download the transcript from YouTube.
Ah, perfect. That's even better. So we'll make sure to speak only the King's English on this show, just to make sure everything be understood very well.
The heavenly king or the earthly king?
Good point. Teresa, who's also a member of the show, or a Global Atheist News Review, says on the episode, good people are going to hell. She says, good people go to hell for the offense of not being gullible. And that's sad.
Yeah.
Very true. Guys, there's so many comments. Thank you so much. But I want to get back to, feel free to leave more. We'll be happy to get through them to next episode. I want to get to more problems that we can invert, which was the topic of today's show. I want to talk about homosexuality is a sin. And we know it's a sin. It's in the Bible. If you don't believe me, go to any protest where they have guys holding the flyers or the posters. They have the citations on the poster. That's right. The best depiction. Don't believe your Christian friends who says, well, God just loves everybody and it doesn't matter who you love and all that stuff. It's like, no, it's in the Bible. The guys are holding the citations. You can read it yourself. You don't have to believe me. You can go in your Bible, get those citations and figure it out. What I do love though, and before I go on a round table of like, it's homosexuality is a sin. We did recently have a federal passed by Joe Biden, famous Catholic, lifelong Catholic, devout believer in God, passed the protection for federal protection for gay marriage, which means whether you're interracial or you're gay, there is no way a state can revoke those rights from you, regardless of whatever issues they have with it. That is federally protected for all people. And I love that. That is a guy who is Catholic, who is making a very non-Catholic decision. That's what I love about it, because he is a political leader for all people. What do you think, Dredd?
Well, I'm wondering why, if he has the power to do that, why he couldn't at the same time go, I also provide protection for a woman's bodily autonomy.
Abortion's next on the list.
Why can't he just do that? If he can do that for protecting gay marriage, why can't he just say that that's the way it is federally?
Supreme Court would probably take that away, most likely.
Well, couldn't they take away the gay marriage thing too?
They could. They absolutely could. But it'd be much harder for them to do that on a less popular topic than it would be for the abortion, was a recently made decision by our Supreme Court. So it's like if I brought potatoes and someone's like, I hate those potatoes, and they throw it in the trash, to be like, I don't like this guy. But if it was like they threw away a plate of broccoli that I brought like 6 weeks ago that everyone's like, oh, broccoli's fine. This is like, yeah, the broccoli was spoiled. They may not be as offended. It's a really, really delicate balance right now. It's just like, don't immediately overturn the thing that I just said we can't do. That'd be terrible. But anyway, John Richards, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure that the Bible is a reliable source of information because, of course...
Oh, I disagree. It's amazing.
Well, although...
It says it's the best book in the book. It says we are the best book in the book. We're the good book. It says it in the book.
Yeah, that's some endorsement, that is. Isn't it? So, because although... Stop it, child. I'm being invaded by children here. So, because although it's quite clearly against homosexuality, it's very much pro-abortion and genocide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what do we take from that?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was in a lot of ways. Oh, geez. I keep thinking of like Jesus as depicted in the Bible is a guy who doesn't like handiwork, likes to keep his hands soft, loves to hang out with other guys, loves to hang out in robes and nice little gowns, accessorizes with like red scarves, super long hair, good abs. I'm like, we can connect some dots here is all I'm saying. He loves to party. One of his major things, not like Samson, who's like pushing pillars across from each other or like zapping lightning bolts from the sky, like God or something like that. It's like, oh, I can make parties even more fun by turning the water into wine so we can have even more drunk. It's like, that is, I don't want to make it stereotypical, but like, that is not machismo in action. That is very much a guy who loves hanging out with other dudes.
He's not a man's man.
It's a little telling to be like, but it's not gay though. It's like, it kind of is. Just embrace it. It's totally good. We're all fine with that. We're like, it's not okay. I have a problem with this. Like, well, that's your problem. Don't make it our problem.
Right.
And I'm loving the American version of machismo. Is that American cheese? Is that American cheese in the middle of it?
Yes, it is. It's American cheese. It's the best cheese. We all know this. All right. So homosexuality is a sin. What if we inverted it and said, okay, well, if it's a sin, just don't do it if you're straight?
Well, that would solve a lot of the problems, that's for sure.
Yeah. If you're straight, don't be homosexual. But if you're homosexual, that's fine.
Yeah. If you're against abortion, don't have abortions.
If you're against abortions, don't have abortions. Yep. How about that?
All of these things are a matter of personal taste, and there's no reason to impose your taste on me.
Right. It's not just because they say it's God and God is the God of all of us, whether you know it or not, which is their attitude. Right. And we have to obey them, whether we are a part of that religion or not. And they're going to make damn sure you do by passing laws.
That's the thing.
You know, it's like having 89 flavors of ice cream and only being allowed to eat one.
Yes.
Vanilla.
This is the thing.
Vanilla is the best flavor.
This is the thing about the bill going through the Indonesian parliament at the moment, because they're not just saying adultery and sex outside of marriage and all those other naughty things are merely naughty to their population. If you're a visitor, a tourist there, then you're banned as well from carrying out those naughty things.
Mm. Well, that's true. A lot of societies do that, though. Look at Qatar.
Oh, sure. I mean, the thing with Qatar, right?
Right.
And the soccer.
Yeah.
Right? But, homosexuality, boys.
Many countries will legitimize, may turn into law their religious beliefs. And America's, we just want money in that regard.
Yeah.
I tend to find that these rulings on sex and sexual groups or identities come from institutions that are fearful of change because they don't want to have to deal with reordering of power that might come from the fact of change occurring. If I am profiting off of people by making sure that they stay indoctrinated in their small bubbles and don't get opportunity to become like engineers or scientists or politicians or world traveled people, that's a situation where I want to make sure I come up with as many arbitrary rules to conduct their everyday lives and thoughts as much as possible. And so I think back on like the Black community, which is very conservative, unfortunately. Like you look at us as a group in America, a lot of us aren't pro gay people or abortion and stuff like that, or even atheists, because we're very much caught in the religious fold. Yet we've had a great Black president who supported all these things by virtue of the fact that he was educated, world-traveled, understood the needs of many different groups of people. Same thing with Biden. Same thing with anyone who gets an opportunity to leave their small circle, their small culture, and understand that there's meaningful people all around the world that don't necessarily follow the same ideology or could be served by the same dogma. Like that is the reason why I feel like a lot of the religious cornerstones that we have are crumbling apart. Because we're becoming much more globally interconnected with each other and realizing this model of behavior is not going to be suitable for everyone. And critical thinking are going to be the steps that helpfully get us completely out of this era of religion. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, when we look back on this 50 years from now, hopefully we can say, oh, yeah, that was a time when everyone was religious. And now we have a new reason, the age of new reason, where we completely left those shackles and are now solely focused on better treatment for human beings, scientific approaches for understanding things, and new adverts and technology and treating people that have been untouched by everybody.
Steven Pinker has a great book. It's called Enlightenment Now. I'd recommend that as a read for anyone that wants to be encouraged by the direction in which societies around the world are going.
And I do think we're turning towards that.
I interviewed Steven Pinker a couple of weeks ago. There's a video of it that will be launched in due course. I had an opportunity to interview three people that night: Lawrence Krauss, Steven Pinker, and Peter Singer.
Are you not a member of the British Empire yet?
That was a good night for me. what you're saying there is that what we need to do is to educate all of these religious people to keep their noses out of our genitalia.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Or stop
eating
like the East.
Ramen.
Why are they so nosy? Why? They're sex obsessed, aren't they?
That's right. Right. I don't like it when my dog does it. So, you know.
I want to tackle another one. I don't know how simple this would be, but we have God's laws, right? And we also have our local laws. And we're always told to uphold God's laws above everything else. But we have an impact on our local laws if we're upstanding members of our community, if we can vote, if we can at least show up in boards, if we elect officials who like can help, you know, curve attitudes towards better, more, what's the best word for it? Beneficial to our community, like make things more beneficial for our communities. But God's law is unchanging. It's perfect. And unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily address everything in the way or in the nuance that it needs to. And so we have a big declaration in the Bible: do not steal. That's a problem. So if you steal, that's a problem. And why is it a problem? Because it goes against God's law. It's one of the big 10. You cannot steal. It's the first thing most Christians will say when you talk about sins. They'll obfuscate the fact that six of them deal with thought crimes of adultery and like sex related stuff and putting God number one. But they'll be like, well, you can't murder and you can't steal. Like those are the only two good ones of the 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Stealing is the one that they bring up because it's against God's law. But you know what? If we invert the problem, what if we just said it's also against local laws too? And maybe we should like think about the conditions of our local laws. Because if I steal something, does that mean I should get my hand cut off? Or does it mean like, oh, maybe I just accidentally walked out with something unknowing and I'll put it back again? Maybe we can have different tiers of stealing and different punitive measures based on the severity of what was stolen and the intent behind it that we can demonstrate in court. Like, we can figure that out ourselves. We don't need God's law.
Yeah. Well, the problem with God and his law is he's not local. We can go to our local source of laws and check it out. There's the book. Right. There's all the laws. We can't do that for God's laws. God's laws be heavily in quotes, you know, and they vary according to where you were brought up.
Right.
I mean, the laws in Indonesia that I've been speaking about are very different from the laws in the UK.
Right. So,
and even if you go by the book, you know, different churches interpret the book different ways.
Of course.
Right.
And if these churches are wanting to have their own police force, they would have their own written laws about what they're allowed to do and not, the clergy and the parishioners. And those laws would change from church to church for interpretation.
And from time to time, too, because we noticed how Limbo went out. For example, the previous Pope cancelled Limbo.
Uh-huh.
It was a place where the unbaptized
children,
unchristened babies went, which wasn't quite so bad as hell. But he's abolished it.
Yeah, so, where did those babies go? He did never address that, did he?
Yeah, no. So here's the breaking news. I've thought of that word that I couldn't find earlier.
Okay. What was it, Ditha?
It's salacious.
Ah, it's salacious.
Yeah. Salacious. I love it.
It's a lovely
That's
word.
That's a lovely word. Lovely word.
Unnecessarily sexual obsession.
There is a problem, though, with God's law. It is very unsatisfactory from what is the punitive measure? Right? Mm. It'll tell you what the edict is. It'll tell you how to exonerate yourself from it, but it doesn't tell you the course of action of what to do if you are guilty of that crime. So don't steal. Okay, and what happens if we do? Well, listen to your local leader or your local authoritarian or your local tyrant who will happily dish out any punitive measures. Like, you gave too much control to one person. That can be biased on how, whether it's their son who steals something or a complete stranger or a foreign person or the chosen people. Like, what are these rules that you set up if you haven't clearly outlined what the punitive measures are? Then, you know, the great thing about local politics and local rules are those are explicitly laid out. And so if I am, for example, a guy that does this dance, Esther, check it out. I'm dancing. I did it. And that can becomes that goes on Fortnite for whatever reason. Fortnite takes that and it turns into an emoji. I can be like, they stole my dance. But then it'll be like, you don't own that movement. You just did a movement. Maybe you inspired it. It's not frame for frame. You can't own songs. They didn't steal it. Oh, okay. So there's no punitive action? No, of course not. This is like, okay, so even if I'm convinced that something was stolen, and even if I can demonstrate that example of it has been, we have case law and establishment where it says, actually, we have codifications to show that this isn't as severe as you think it is, even if it means personally a lot to you. Yes. That's so useful in a biased society, in a subjective society. We don't have that from the Bible. No clarity whatsoever. Mm. Just if you do steal, pray to God, Jesus, and we'll forgive you. I'm like, how unsatisfactory. How do we maintain a society on such a loose set of rules?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I like that because it's channeling, isn't it? I didn't steal it. I merely channeled it.
I was inspired. I was inspired. It's like, oh, they got my dance. Oh, no. You never know.
That's right.
Guys, we're at the bop. Larry, what do you think? Where are we at?
Oh, we've got about 8.5 minutes left. We're still pretty good.
Pound it through.
Okay. So we talked about how to resolve it, how to invert these problems and solve them with our current day technology. We can use IMAS to stop people from lusting over people who have issues with hijabs being worn. We have, hey, listen, only be as offended as your God. How about that as a good rule? Like, that could be a nice general rule. And if we don't see lightning strike hit people who blaspheme God, then you could take it that you don't need to step in on behalf of your God and vicariously be offended for him. What do you think, Larry?
Well, there's a problem with that, as usual. In the Bible, you know, God theoretically stepped in and gave everybody diseases, right?
Correct.
Well, the preachers are going to point to COVID. God did step in. See, he gave everybody COVID because you're not listening to what I said. You're not following God's rules. They just interpret it any way they want to and make it their point.
Well, the favorite is the post hoc fallacy, right?
Right.
Sure. But I'm also a big fan of testing things, and correlation is not the same thing as causation. If we want to retest it again and say, like, okay, then let's do it again. And if another COVID outbreak happens immediately afterwards, then we know for a fact, let's not base a worldwide decision on an N of one. Let's
you
not
can't test your... God.
Oh, well then let's not follow them at all. Cause we're going to do things that we can test. Cause we're talking about things that we can solve with our own tooling. And what we do tool is test. And anyone that says, don't test me, shoot, I can make 1,000 gods that are like, don't test me, by the way.
We could actually get a test group together, right?
And
under controlled conditions, have them blaspheme.
Yes.
And after, you know, see if there's a direct, a direct punishment exacted from on high. And if nothing happens, then that is further proof that, it's not a blaspheme at all.
Yeah. And how telling is it? Lies hate to be tested. Lies will tell you, don't look under the covers. Don't ask how this trick was done. Don't try to spoil the illusion.
Behind the curtain.
Exactly. Whereas the truth is always asking you to verify it and always asking you to provide proofs for it and always asking you to look at it critically and try to get closer and closer to the truth with each attempt. Any being that says, don't test me, is a being that's hiding something. And if we live in a world where a devil exists that is all about tricking and tempting people, you have to consider that a God that says, don't test me, may not necessarily be in your interest.
Right. The truth has nothing to hide from investigation.
Absolutely. Yep. Like, what's the point of lawsuits? Like, what? Don't test me. What other standard of evidence do we apply that to? Oh, there was a murder. But don't test it. Just punish this guy. Don't test it.
Yeah, I love that.
If you're sick, but don't test it.
I love the quote from H.P. Lovecraft. Says, instead of trying to browbeat the Gospels into your children, why not, if gospels are true, just tell them to have an unswerving devotion to looking into the truth and trying to find truth. Then they'll discover it if it's true.
Watch this, guys. Look, God, you're evil, and if you exist, destroy me now.
Yeah, there he turned into a green screen.
That was good. Watching. That was awesome.
Yeah. I also say this too. Devout Islamists who have a problem with seeing hair that's uncovered on women, we have a supernatural potential to solve that problem. God could. God solved seeing Islamic hair so if the problem to see women's hair uncovered, and God made it so that one day magically any guy who sees an unhaired or is about to see the uncovered hair of a woman automatically has their eyes engorged shut, their eyelids engorged shut, like that would be one indication of, oh, maybe their God is actually doing something. And two, that's something we can test. Three, maybe we shouldn't be atheists anymore. Doesn't necessarily mean we'll worship, but at least we know it's this God compared to all the other ones. Because as soon as someone converts to Islam and they try to look at a woman's hair that's uncovered, their eyes shut and they can't stop it. And we can test it and look at all the nerves and be like, oh, this is very bizarre. Yeah. What's going on here?
It's like a new organ in the body suddenly appears. Make that connection, right?
Right. Yeah. I just need one supernatural demonstration. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, no, I think it would be great. Something testable would be awesome. Right. But we're getting close to the top of the hour. We need to start winding out.
Okay. In a simpler context, you could just have someone magically not be able to blaspheme. So whatever John Richards just did, which we don't endorse on this show because we're all God-fearing people, would have been feasible. You could have given us lobster hands instead of telling us not to fornicate.
That might work against masturbation, but I'm not sure it would work against...
That's the whole point. Give us lobster hands. Now we can't fornicate anymore. Homosexuality, stop making straight people make homosexuals. Don't steal. Create a society where people won't have to or need to steal in the first place. These are all supernatural steps you could have made, which would immediately solve your atheist problem and helped us all discover that we all have souls and we're all going to heaven when we die. Isn't that right, Larry?
Absolutely. If he just show up, I mean, that's within his power, right? He shows
up. Just show up.
Yeah.
Own it. Not only get rid of the atheist problem, but all the other religion problems.
Yeah. All right. Guys, feel free to leave more comments on Let's Chat. This has been a great show. Dread Pirate, where can we find your stuff at?
Hey, well, I'm on Mind Pirate, MindPyrate on YouTube. And I do live stream on Sunday mornings. This show at 7 a.m. PST. And when I do the Global Atheist News Review, that's at 11 a.m. PST on Sunday morning. So, check me out.
Nice.
And I hope you're going to be able to do that today.
John Richards, where can we find you about that?
Well, I'm on Freethought Channel, and my co-host Tercia and I had a wonderful conversation with a very highly qualified fellow who... He's got about 4 degrees, one of which is an MD. And he's an evolution advocate.
Okay.
And you should watch it. It's a fantastic show.
Cool. Who is it?
Okay.
His name is John Peters. Hmm. He's not that far from you, Dredd, because he's in that one.
Where?
I'm trying to say Port
Coquitlam,
Western Canada,
Machismo,
just Northern America on the West Coast.
Okay,
where Starbucks comes from?
Oh, okay.
Portland,
Seattle.
There it is.
All right,
okay. Gotcha.
Doubter 5, take us out.
Hey, this has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. My content can be found at thedigitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button. Thank you, Dredd, for holding my book up. My book can be found at Amazon, by the way, and it's called Atheism, What's It All About? I do have a YouTube channel as well at Doubter 5. Check it out. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real, and they haven't for a long time. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.